Hello!
And welcome to Carrie and Emmy Remember Harry Potter to the Best of Their Abilities, Harry Potter and the Final Hours, Book the Seventh, Part the Third.
Woo!
Woo!
So, hello, Robert.
Hello, Robert and listening
fellow
friends.
Listeners. Yeah.
When we last left our heroes.
Sorry.
Carrie and I just played a really frustrating level of Harry Potter Lego Wii.
It was upsetting.
Like, we got all the way to the end, and then it was supposed to be the final battle against Voldemort, only, like, we couldn't figure out how to go on, and the internet was really unhelpful. So we're both just sort of...
Yeah.
We haven't really got it back together yet, friends.
Well, we're gonna work on it. Also, I was gonna say that for many of these books now, we've been doing three parts.
Right.
And this is the third part of the seventh book.
Oh, no.
But I feel like we're going to need a fourth.
I think so.
Because here's the deal. A, this shouldn't be our last
one. No, I'm not ready for it to be done.
I'm not ready for it to be done. And B, we've only made it like halfway through the book. And there's a bunch of junk that goes down at the end. I mean, look at this.
There's a... Oh, is that where we are?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, anyway.
Get ready.
So do not panic.
Gentle listeners.
Gentle listeners. Because this is not the end, but we're getting there. So, okay, we last left off. Harry and Hermione were hanging out in the Forest of Dean.
Right.
Harry's like, I'll take first watch. Hermione's like, okay, and like goes and sleeps. And then there's a doe Patronus that shows up.
Right.
And Harry's like, I'm going to follow that. And then follows it to this lake.
Gryffindor at the core.
Yeah,
Gryffindor at the core. Oh, look, something weird. I better follow it.
I better follow it. So he... goes to this lake where he, or the doe leads him to this lake. He sees the Sword of Gryffindor at the bottom. Mm-hmm. He decides to take everything off except for the Horcrux for some reason.
Right.
Jumps into the lake. Horcrux freaks out. He's gonna die. Then someone grabs him and pulls him to safety along with the sword. Turns out to be Ron Weasley. Da-da-da-da-da! He's back.
Da-da-da!
This is probably too much to recap.
Doesn't matter. Keep going. Now you've made the commitment.
So, then they figure out that that could break the Horcruxes,
right.
The sword could. So, Harry's like, you should break the necklace. Then Ron's like, no. Then Harry's like, no, you should. And Ron's like, okay. And then Harry opens it.
Good summary.
I thought so. And then Ron sees a bunch of stuff and then stabs it.
Yep.
And then, and then they walk back to Hermione.
Yep. And they trudge on back, carrying the Gryffindor sword. So, Harry's like, hey, wake up, Hermione, I've got a surprise for you. And in the movie, Emma Watson does a great job of trying to hit Ronald Bilious Weasley with, like, sticks.
Yeah.
You complete arse, Ronald Weasley. And I think if I recall the book correctly, she just, like, stares at him and then goes back inside.
Yeah. But I love the movie. Like, the movie has one of my favorite parts in it ever. Like, this is one of my favorite parts of the movie ever.
Mm-hmm.
When he comes back and Hermione gets pissed and she's yelling at him. And she's like, Harry, where's my wand? Mm-hmm. And Harry's like, I don't know. I don't have it. And Hermione's like, Harry Potter, you give me my wand!
Because
she wants to, like, yeah.
Curse Ronald, probably.
Probably curse him.
It's like boils.
But I just love the way that Harry's like, I don't know where
it is. Because,
like, we've all had that friend that's what's, like, going off. You're like, I don't know.
What? Where's my phone? You're drunk.
Right.
You can't have your phone.
We have all also been the friend.
Been the friend, yes.
Who's been like, no, I need this. So, Hermione stares at Ron, goes back in the tent, and Ron's like, well, he's not happy.
Could have gone. I think he says something like, well, that could have been better. And Harry's like, yeah, well, there was that one time she attacked you with birds. And he's like, oh, that's true. Could have been worse.
Could have been worse. So the next part in the movie I also really enjoy, but I don't know if it's book.
Which part?
Well, when they're, when Ron gives Harry the new wand and then they... Like, I don't remember.
I think
how
he just is like, hey, I got a wand. You want this wand? I don't remember there being a wand.
Because Harry's wand has been broken.
Right.
And so Ron is like, hey, you don't have a wand. I grabbed a couple from some snatchers.
Oh, yeah. I stole them off. Yeah.
Yeah. So here's one. It's not that great, but you can use it for now. And Harry's like, all right. And he uses it, but he's like, ugh.
I think he says it feels like having someone else's arm attached to his body.
Yeah. Like, he's just not. It's not responding as well as his wand did. Yeah. Ugh.
His amazing wand.
I love his wand.
So
Harry gets a wand.
Yeah, Harry periodically tries stuff with new wand, doesn't super work out. Hermione's still being pretty frosty towards Ron.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, they're just kind of sitting around talking one day, and they say, I think they say you know who. Or basically, like, they don't say Voldemort's name, and Ron's like, oh, you're not saying the name anymore. And they're like, well, we just kind of got out of the habit of it. And he's like, no, I thought you knew that it's taboo. Like, if you say the name, it breaks the enchantments around you, and so people can find you. So basically, like, if you use the name of Voldemort, he can find you and punish you for using it.
And doesn't it, like, immediately call, like, Death Eaters or whoever to you? Yes. Like, so that's why in the, like, way back at the beginning of this book, when they went into the coffee shop in the Muggle world, wherever that was, I don't remember. Some London. Street. Yeah, some street in London. So they said Voldemort's name, and that's what brought the Death Eaters to them.
Yep.
Just kidding, that happens later. So.
Yeah, don't do that yet.
Do they go to the Locust House? Have we covered that yet?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, we're gonna definitely.
when did they go to the? I'm trying to remember what happened. Well, okay, so Ron explains how he got back to them. Because.
Oh right. Yeah.
How does that topic come up?
I don't remember. I think Harry's just like trying to make conversation because it's getting awkward, and Harry's like, "So, how'd you get back?"
Yeah, or just like. I think Ron's just like playing with the Deluminator or something, but he's like, "Oh, this is really useful because it brought me back to you," and they're like, "What?" He's like, yeah. So, I was listening to the radio to see if you guys were dead. And they're like, thanks. He's like, yeah, well. And, he says to Hermione, I heard your name. I heard you say my name. And she's like, don't say your name. Whatever. And, if you will recall, it's from Christmas when Harry's wand got broken, and Hermione said, it's like when Ron's wand got broken. It was the first time they said his name, since he'd left them. And so Ron's like, yeah, I heard you say my name, and there was this, almost immediately there was this, like, glowing, oh, it was coming from the Deluminator. So I clicked it, and there was this glowing ball of blue light. And so I packed my bag, I followed it outside, it went into my chest, I disapparated, I didn't have any plan about where I was going. When I apparated, I was here in the woods, or I was there in the woods with you guys, and there was a doe, and I followed it. Hermione's like, well. and she's still pretty frosty towards him.
Yeah, but starting to warm up because the whole...
Oh, right, and then that's why... So they're sitting around just kind of talking about what their next strategy is, and Hermione's like... Harry, I think we should go see Xenophilius, meaning lover of strange things. In Greek, Philius, like Philadelphia, and Xeno, like xenophobia, lover of strange things.
You in Greek.
Hey man, it's my, you know.
I enjoy it.
So she's like, I think we should go see Xenophilius Lovegood, and Ron's like, why? And she ignores him. She's like, you have no vote in this conversation. And Harry's like, okay. And she's like, well, that little symbol that we saw in the letter from... We covered the whole letter thing? Okay.
From Dumbledore to Grindelwald. Yeah. The little thing.
He had, like, the little triangle with the circle and the line in his name. And then also, she's found it in Tales of Beedle the Bard. And then also...
Like, hand-drawn in.
Yeah, Xenophilius was wearing it at the wedding, and also, it got Crumb really mad, and he said, that's Grindelwald's mark, and he was all pissy.
And it was on a grave in Godric's Hollow.
Yeah, so it's just showing up everywhere.
So she's like, it's popping up everywhere, we have no idea where the next Horcrux is, or what, you know, like, what to do next, so why don't we just go ask Xenophilius Lovegood, he clearly knows something about it, if he's gonna wear that symbol, and just see what it is, because... Like, we can't just keep camping random places and not knowing the next step.
Yep.
And then there's this really funny part in the movie where Ron's like, I agree with Hermione! Let's vote on it!
Yep.
And, like, it's all ready to, like, be on her good side for, like, ever. And she just rolls her eyes at him, and then Harry's like, I
it kind of happens in the book, too. There's not, like, the voting thing where it's, like, raise your hand, and Ron raises, like, Ron's like, raise your hand! He raises his hand, and Hermione's like, ugh, and then raises her hand. Like, oh, sorry, Harry, you're outvoted. But it happens in the book in the sort of, like, I think we should go. And Harry's like, you just say that because you're trying to get back and go with Hermione.
Yeah.
And Ron's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Yes, I am.
So, then they go to Xenophilia Selvig's house.
Yep.
What something that does not really get covered, it doesn't get covered in the movie at all, but it is in the books, is that the Lovegoods and the Weasleys are neighbors.
Yes, and so near the burrow.
They're near the burrow, and so they can, like, see it kind of, like, through the bushes.
Yeah.
And I think, like, Harry says something about, like, missing Molly's cooking or something. Like, it's, like, this pang of, like, wanting to go and see them, but, like, there's no way that they should do that.
Well, and Ron is like, yeah, I miss it too. And he's like, you were just home. And he's like, are you kidding me? You think after I left you two in the woods that I went home to my family? You think my mother, my father, the twins, and Ginny would not have killed me on the spot? And Harry's like, oh, what did you do then? And he's like, I just kind of camped out with my sleeping bag.
Yeah.
It wasn't great. Almost got caught by snatchers a couple of times. Snatchers are going around, like, trying to catch kids or people who are on the run from the Muggle, or from the Ministry of Magic authorities, because they're Muggle-borns or Muggle-married.
Yep.
So,
Or just have spoken out against Voldemort.
Right, or just are not
in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yeah, exactly. So they go to the Lovegood's house, and they're like, hey, I think they put Harry under the invisibility cloak for a bit.
Yeah, I think so.
Because they're traveling. And, but it's like, hi, Xenophilius, how are you? He's like, oh.
He's like, fine.
No, quite busy right now. And they're like, no. And then I think Harry takes off his invisibility cloak and he's like, oh, Harry Potter, come in. And, then he, like, runs around the house kind of, like, tidying up. And he's like, oh, Luna is home and she would be glad to see you, but she's down.
Well, they ask him.
Yeah.
But they're like, it's Christmas break, where's Luna? And he's like, oh, she's out getting something, like, from the river.
Picking Plimpies from the river. Or she's gonna she's gonna come back and make tea.
Yeah, so, but she'll be back soon or something. And
she'll be
like,
glad to see you all.
Okay. And then he makes them tea, I wanna say, or something.
Yes.
And do they go upstairs?
So I think what we should do first is tell the story of the three brothers.
Okay.
And then we should get into what happens in the house, because then it's when they're figuring out that Luna's not actually there.
Right. Okay.
That then everything
explodes. Are we going to read the story?
Yeah. If you have not seen the movie, you guys, you need to see the movie just for this part. It is an amazing bit of animation. I don't remember the animation studio that does it, but it's just fantastic.
It is amazing.
They're just amazing. And, it's the story, so again, remember that, Hermione was gifted this book of ancient fairy tales written in ancient runes, and these are fairy tales that are common to the wizarding community, unlike the Muggle community. So, they're like, hey, we came here to ask you about the symbol, and he's like, oh, you came here to ask me about the Hallows. And they're like, the what now? And he's like, the Deathly Hallows, and Ron's like, this would be like, if you showed up at somebody's place and be like, hey, so I hear you have weapons of mass destruction. And they were like, yeah, you mean Cinderella. And you'd be like, no.
It's
not what I came... Okay. And so he's like, yeah. So the story goes, and Hermione says, well, I actually have the original here. And he's like, oh, how excellent. And has her read it out. Yes, read it out to us. So okay. Carrie, do us the...
story time with Carrie! So this is the tale of the three brothers.
Yes, the tale of the three brothers.
Yes, tale of three brothers. There were once three brothers who were traveling along a lonely, winding road at twilight.
Ron interjects, midnight. Mom always said midnight, and Hermione gives him this look and says, it says twilight.
In time, the brothers reached a river too deep to wade through and too dangerous to swim across. However, these brothers were learned in the magical arts, and so they simply waved their wands and made a bridge appear across the treacherous water. They were halfway across it when they found their path blocked by a hooded figure, and Death spoke to them. He was angry that he had been cheated out of the three new victims, for travelers usually drown in the river, but Death was cunning. He pretended to congratulate the three brothers upon their magic and said that each had earned a prize for having been so clever to evade him. So the oldest brother, who was a combative man, asked for a wand more powerful than any in existence. A wand that must always win duels for its owner. A wand worthy of a wizard who had conquered death. So Death crossed to an elder tree on the banks of the river, fashioned a wand from a branch that hung there, and gave it to the oldest brother. Then the second brother, who was an arrogant man, decided that he wanted to humiliate Death even further, and asked for the power to recall others from death. So Death picked up a stone from the riverbank and gave it to the second brother, and told him that the stone would have the power to bring back the dead. And then Death asked the third and youngest brother what he would like. The youngest brother was the humblest and also the wisest of the brothers.
This always happens in fairy tales. Have you ever noticed that? Like, the youngest ones are always the smart ones.
Because the youngest are the best.
It's true.
I'm the youngest.
I know you are. Okay. There's no fairy tales about only children.
Oh, well.
Except for Harry Potter.
I was going to say Rapunzel?
I hope Rapunzel's an only child or she left her siblings in that tower.
Right. Anyway. Man. The youngest brother was the humblest and also the wisest of the brothers, and he did not trust Death.
Good move.
So he asked for something that would enable him to go forth from that place without being followed by Death. And Death, most unwillingly, handed over his own cloak of invisibility. Then Death stood there.
I'm sorry, you just skipped the best line that the...
Would you like to take
Harry,
over?
Harry goes, Death's got an invisibility cloak? And Ron says, sure, so he can sneak up on people. He gets tired sometimes of running at them, flapping his arms and screaming. I'm like, I would love to see that in the movie, because Ron is, like, such a footballer and so broad-shouldered, and I would love to see him just, like, waving his arms and pretending to be Death, and then Hermione giving him a death glare.
That would be amazing. Then Death stood aside and allowed the three brothers to continue on their way, and they did so, talking with wonder of the adventure they had had, and admiring Death's gifts. In due course, the brothers separated, each for his own destination. The first brother traveled on for a week or more, and reaching a distant village, sought out a fellow wizard with whom he had a quarrel. Naturally, with the Elder Wand as his weapon, he could not fail to win the duel that followed. Leaving his enemy dead upon the floor, the oldest brother proceeded to an inn, where he boasted loudly of the powerful wand he had snatched from Death himself, and of how it made him invincible. That very night, another wizard crept upon the oldest brother as he lay, wine-sodden, upon his bed. The thief took the wand and, for good measure, slit the oldest brother's throat. And so Death took the first brother for his own. Meanwhile, the second brother journeyed to his own home, where he lived alone. He took out the stone that had the power to recall the dead and turned it thrice in his hand. To his amazement and his delight, the figure of a girl whom he had hoped to marry before her untimely death appeared at once before him. Yet she was sad and cold, separated from him as by a veil. Though she had returned to the mortal world, she did not truly belong there, and suffered. Finally, the second brother, driven mad with hopeless longing, killed himself so as to truly join her. And so Death took the second brother for his own. But though Death searched for the third brother for many years, he was never able to find him. It was only when he had attained a great age that the youngest brother finally took off the cloak of invisibility and gave it to his son. And then he greeted Death as an old friend and went with him gladly. And as equals, they departed this life.
The end.
I just realized that I own a copy of, like, The Tales of Beelzebub.
Oh, yeah.
And I could have just read it from there. Anyway,
This is fine.
This is cool.
And so then Xenophilius is just like, yep, that's it. And they're like, what do you mean? He's like, that's the Deathly Hallows. And they're like, the words Deathly Hallows are not in the story, sir. He says, yes, but he gets a piece of paper and he draws for them a triangle, then a line down the middle of the triangle, and then a circle in the middle. And he says, so this is the Elder Wand, the line, the circle is the Resurrection Stone, and the
triangle is
the Cloak of Invisibility. Together, they combine the Deathly Hallows, and they make the...
Make one the Master of Death.
Yes.
And so they're like, okay.
Yeah, Hermione says, well, it's a fairy tale.
Right.
She says, right, but it's about these three powerful objects that these brothers probably created because they were great wizards and then handed down.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, well, they don't actually exist.
And Xenophilius is like, there are a group of people that have, or that believe that they exist. And I think he said that the wand has, like, the most detailed history.
Yes.
That you can see, like, the wand being passed down, although they don't know where it is right now.
Right. And it arises under different names from different times.
Yeah.
Places,
like,
but yeah.
Yeah. That there's different names for it. It's kind of like, I don't...
Like the Shroud of Turin?
Yeah, I was gonna say like that or like, anyway, yeah.
Alright.
Like these different objects that exist in different cultures, is like they're the same thing, but they have different names.
Oh. But it's not that. It's like, oh, but yeah, but it kind of is.
So, yeah.
Right. I gotcha. And then the Resurrection Stone.
I don't think they know anything.
I don't think they know anything, but yeah, they're like, mrr. But there's lots of things that could do something like it, and so that's not that impossible, and they're all like, alright. And they're like, well, what about the invisibility cloak? I mean, everybody's got those. And he says, well, yes, but this is an invisibility cloak that has an immense amount of power. Invisibility cloaks wear off, or they get holes from spells being cast at them. I mean, this is a cloak that would have been passed on from generation to generation to generation and would still be absolutely almost flawless. Have you ever seen an invisibility cloak like that? And they all look at each other like, yeah, actually. That's Harry's.
Yeah. There's also a part in here where... I don't remember who brings it up, but someone asks, like, well, it's obvious which one you would pick.
I think they talk later. But
oh,
yeah.
Is that later?
Yeah. Well, we're doing it now. Do it now.
And Ron is like, well, obviously the wand.
Right.
Because you have the most powerful wand in the world. Like, right. You know, like, you would be totally fine. Hermione says, obviously the cloak, because...
Yeah. It's a smart choice.
It's a smart choice. And Harry's like, no, the Resurrection Stone. Mm-hmm. So I can... Like,
see my family.
Everyone that I love that has died.
And Sirius and everybody. And they're. Hermione and Ron are both like. Cake! That's.
Okay!
You made it real dark, bro.
Oh, things got real there. This is awkward. It's kind of like the, like, I would have the wand, I would have the cloak. It's like, I would have the stone.
Because I'm an orphan. How much did they cover anything else that we were missing?
I don't think so. Because then I think this is when Xenophilius is like, I'm gonna go make tea.
Yeah,
or like
exactly.
Check where Luna is or something. Like
yeah.
He leaves.
And they're like, alright. And they hear some crashing from, I think, upstairs.
They also.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. Okay, so they're upstairs.
Yeah.
And they are looking around the room.
That's what I'm... Yep.
Okay, is that what we're going for?
That's exactly what I was going for, yeah.
Would you like to tell it? I feel like I just hijacked it.
No, that's fine. You go ahead.
Well, they first see I think it's the first thing they see is the bust of Rowena Ravenclaw.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a stone thing. A stone bust of Rowena Ravenclaw with like this weird headdress thing on.
Yeah.
And, they're like, what's up with that? And I think... Hermione says, well, it's, so, like, supposedly Rowena Ravenclaw had this headdress that would help you think better and, like, be more logical and things because she's so smart, or she was so smart, hence why Ravenclaws are, like, the smartest ones.
Right.
Or the most clever or whatever. And so, like, there was, like, the Lovegoods had remade a... headdress on it. And then you happen to see that she's also wearing a diadem.
Mm-hmm.
Which is much more subtly said in the book.
Right.
But she's wearing a diadem! Huh!
That'll come in not handy at all later.
No! We don't need that.
So then when they're...
Are you gonna cover the horn?
Oh, no, you cover the horn.
Okay.
I forgot about the horn.
So they also see a crumble horn snork snack or something.
Snork
crumpled snork cack horn. I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah.
It's these, like, things. It's, like, it's a horn.
Well, they're like, what's that horn from? And Xenophilius Lovegood's like, well, it's a crumple horn snork cack.
And Hermione's like,
Hermione, I think, says, no, it's actually the horn of, like, she
horn
gives the actual animal. And he's like,
And he's like, okay. And Hermione's like, and, those, like explode. Like, at the slightest movement, they can just,
like
at
the slightest touch, they can just...
So,
exercise
and Xenophilius is like, whatever.
Yeah.
And Hermione's like, okay.
Moving on. And then, so Xenophilius has now exited the room.
Mm-hmm.
And they...
Exeunt.
Pursued by a bear. High five. Winter's Tale, we love you.
Oh, Shakespeare reference!
Lesser known Shakespeare reference.
It's true.
The Winter's Tale. Very weird play.
Fun fact, when I was in high school, this is probably really boring, when I was in high school,
we haven't gone on a tangent in this whole thing.
It's true, we've been shocking.
25 minutes in. Yeah, you're right, you're right. Thank us.
We have been shockingly on target. When I was in high school, I took British literature, and as a like extra credit thing, we like saw a reference to anything that we were reading in class, then we like got an extra point.
Oh, nice.
A point of extra credit. And I got so many, it was like ridiculous. Like I was like, I'm just really good at seeing references and things, and then making my own references, and
that is your life skill.
It really is. It's like it's not a greatest skill to have. But I feel like you'll find
a way to put it to use.
It peppers in conversation. That's well. That's
true. We did the Winter's Tale at my college my sophomore year, I think.
Nice.
It was a very, very interesting play. Very weird.
Yeah,
not unlike Harry Potter. With magic and weird predictions and stuff. So, what happens in this story is...
You were saying, happens.
Happens. Okay, so, Xenophilius Lovegood is like, are there some banging? I don't remember exactly what happens, but basically, there's a whole bunch of things that happen at once,
I think he says he's gonna go make some tea, and then there's, like, a lot of noise, and they're like, maybe not.
Yeah. Oh. Well, he says he's gonna go make some tea. And they go, I think they're wandering around, or there's noise, or whatever, but they go, and they check. This has not happened in the movie. Happens only in the books. So, they look into Luna's room, and they're like, oh... This is really nice. Like, she's got it decorated really sweetly, and it's, like, all kind of light and airy, and she's got pictures of Harry, Ron, Hermione, Neville, Ginny, and I think a couple other people from the defense, from Dumbledore's army, like, little golden portraits of them strung on the wall, and they're, like, turning in the breeze, and there's this ribbon that strings them all together, and it says, Friends. Because Luna's kind of a loner.
Yeah.
She's now got friends. But interestingly enough, the room is covered in dust. Like, not as if somebody dirty lives there, but as if somebody doesn't live there at all.
Yeah.
And hasn't for quite a few months.
Right.
So that's kind of weird. So they come back out, and they're like, And when they come back into the living room, they notice that something that Xenophilius Lovegood threw a sheet over to, like, keep down the noise, is kicking out some new quibblers. It's a printing press. And they look at it, and they're like, Because it has Harry's picture on the front, which is, I mean, the quibbler's been... totally supporting Harry, like, backing him, saying something's going wrong in the ministry. Except that, right, this new edition of the Quibbler says, undesirable number one.
Yeah.
Go find Harry Potter and turn him in for money.
So that's not good. That's
problematic. And so Xenophilius Lovegood comes back in, he sits down the tray for tea, and they're like, hey, where's Luna? And he's like, oh, she'll be right along. And Hermione's like, yeah, so why have you set the tea tray for four?
That was amazing.
It's just
okay, I'm good.
I don't know why that cracked
me. I don't know. That just hit me as really, really funny, and I
totally missed in the movie.
But just the fact that, like, Hermione is just so pointed.
Hermione's just not having any of it.
No, I'm going to trap you in logic because I am tired and I've been on the road for this long and I'm sick of having mysteries and I don't know what to do next.
Yeah.
And, oh, really, sir? Like, anyway.
So we find out Xenophilius disarms all of them. He expelliarmuses them and takes their wands. And we find out that the Ministry of Magic and or the Death Eaters, it's sort of unclear, because they're all working together at this point, have taken Luna and have basically held her hostage and told Xenophilius, like, you find Harry Potter and we'll let her go, but we're keeping her. And so he's like, he can't handle it. He's completely snapped. And so he has now contacted them, like, while he was off pretending to make tea. He contacted, I think, the Death Eaters and said, I have Harry Potter. Come and get him. And, yes?
Does he not use the name?
He does not use the name.
Okay.
That happens at a different point.
Okay. I wasn't sure if he contacted them and then said it, or if he,
no.
Okay.
I'm trying to remember how... Basically, somehow Hermione gets her wand back. I'm pretty sure she just throws herself at the guy, does something awesome.
Yeah, she's cool.
But she gets her wand, and she hits the Crumblehorn Snorkack. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Actually, maybe they just, like, shit just starts blowing up. Excuse me, dollar in the jar. Anyway, something happens, and the whole house starts blowing up. Remember that part? Is it Death Eaters?
I think what happens if I remember correctly, is that...
She clearly don't at this point.
I think one of them somehow hits the horn.
Yes.
And it explodes, and that's when they get their wands and stuff.
Oh, probably. Yeah.
Like in that mess. And yeah. then what happens also is that Xenophilius gets knocked down to the first floor.
Right.
And then stuff crumbles on top of the staircase. So they're on the second floor.
Yep.
There's junk blocking the staircase, and Xenophilius is on the first floor.
Right.
Then the Death Eaters show up, right. and they're like, hey, you said you have Harry Potter, where is he? And Xenophilius is like, he's upstairs! And they're like, uh-oh.
Actually, they start yelling at him about wasting their time, because apparently he'd contacted them about the horn of the Crumplehorn Snorkack. And they were like, this is a waste of our time, we're not going to let your daughter go unless you give us Harry Potter. And he's like, no, he's upstairs! I think Hermione throws the invisibility cloak over Harry, and there's a lot of battling and spells cast.
And there's something in this part in the book because, like why can't, are they, Carrie makes sentences. Are they separated from each other? Because there's, like, a reason that they aren't apparating or anything. Like, there's some problem with them being able to get out of there. And I think, like, they're,
Well, they get their wand. They get up. I don't know.
Okay. Maybe not.
Maybe they didn't. I mean, maybe he doesn't expel your armor there. I'm sorry. I was wrong. He doesn't get their wands. My fault. It just, they, as soon as they make the accusation and Lovegood kind of loses his mind, Hermione hits the horn.
Yep.
And oh, then, yeah, basically.
Yeah.
And so then the whole house blows up, and everything's really bad, and they manage to escape.
Cool. Woo! Okay.
Short story.
That was close. Glad we made it through there. So, Harry then, so they get to, like, what, forest or something?
I don't know, somewhere.
There's somewhere. And they're, like, I think Hermione's putting up spells, or Harry is, and Ron's like, Xenophilius Lovegood sucks! And the other one is like, dude, Luna was taken from him, he's under some major pressure, like, let's, you know, kind of let it slide. And then Harry starts this whole, like, I don't know if we should do this,
we're gonna do it.
Where he's starting to think, like, okay, there's these Deathly Hallows.
No, there aren't, Harry. That's just a story that Xenophilius is making up
right.
to keep us occupied while they were waiting for the Death Eaters to come.
And then Harry's
like... Hermione's belief.
Right. And then Harry's like, but my invisibility cloak. Like, that has to be one.
Well, that...
And then Hermione's like, no.
That doesn't just...
Like, that doesn't mean that there's Deathly Hallows. Like, right. maybe you just have a really awesome thing. And right. Ron's like... Because I think Ron is, like, disagreeing with Hermione, right. but doesn't want to.
Right, but he has to agree
And so, but Harry's pretty much convinced at this point.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if he's there 100%, but he's like...
No, Harry gets there, like, 100%.
Oh, he does?
He does, because he almost immediately is like, as soon as they like, land, he's just being like, oh, okay, we gotta find, they're real. They're all real, and they were, I don't know if they were made by death, but they're real. Because Dumbledore left me the Resurrection Stone. It's in the Snitch. And they're like, Harry, you have lost your mind. And he's like, no, I know it's in
you
there.
You are Xenophilius.
And he starts,
Lovegood,
like, whispering to it, like, and telling it, like, I know you're in there, and, like, trying to convince their Snitch to open, and they're both like, and you've lost your mind.
Oh, boy, he's nuts. He's cracked. That's from Aladdin. So... Yep. Shout out to Evan, if he's ever listens to these anymore, but...
I don't know.
Whatever we, yeah, anyway, that's a reference that comes up a lot in our life, where we're like, oh man, he's lost it, he's cracked, Jafar! Anyway.
Right.
So then Harry... Okay.
Oh, sorry.
No, go for it.
So Harry's like, look, Dumbledore had the cloak when my dad died. Clearly it's the invisibility cloak of
clearly,
death.
Dumbledore took it to see if it was one of the Hallows.
Right.
That's why he had it when my dad right. died.
The ring is in thing, and thing is, we know that the Elder Wand, like, the Elder Wand exists in other folklore, that there's, like, a really powerful wand. You don't necessarily have to know about the Deathly Hallows to know about the wand. So Voldemort is trying to track down Grigorovich, the German wand maker, because he's trying to find a really powerful wand, but he doesn't realize that it's a Deathly Hallow, so he doesn't realize the power. So I've got to get that wand for him.
And again, Hermione's like, you're insane!
Yeah, totally insane.
Like, she's like, Harry, Dumbledore told us that we need to go and find Horcruxes.
Horcruxes.
Because even if you find all these Deathly Hallows that exist, then you're still going to have 5 Voldemorts to destroy. Like, we need to destroy the Horcruxes. And Harry's like, but the Hallows!
She's like, they're not real. Stay on target.
So then for, like, 75 pages of the book, Harry's just going, Hallows or Horcruxes? Hallows or Horcruxes? Hallows or Horcruxes? Rule of threes. So, yeah, that happens. And then, is it during this fight that they say his name?
Yeah.
Okay, so...
Basically.
Yeah, so they're like, Harry's like, the Hallows exist, and Hermione's like, no, they don't, and Ron's like, I'm gonna stay in the middle of East Switzerland because I like both of you, and Harry's like, no, but that's what Voldemort is after, and Ron's like, no! And then all of the, like, protective enchantments break, and there's 3 Snatchers standing in front of them.
Yep.
Or standing outside the tent.
Yep.
And Harry's like, shit.
And Hermione whirls, points her wand into Harry's face, and hits him with a curse. And Harry's like, this sucks.
So then they hear voices outside the tent, and there's people, like, taunting them, and they're like, oh, there's people here that are brave enough to speak the Dark Lord's name. Like,
yeah.
Who do you think you are? And whatever. They pull him out of the tent, I think.
Yeah, they yank him out of the tent.
And
Harry tells him his name is Vernon Dudley.
Vernon Dudley.
Or Vernon...
Vernon Dudley.
Yep, he says Vernon Dudley.
And then Hermione says she's Penelope Clearwater, a half-blood.
Yep.
I don't remember what Ron says.
He says he's... Barney Weasley, the cousin that Harry was supposedly back at the wedding that doesn't actually exist. And Fenrir Greyback is with them, the werewolf who, like, eats people for funsies.
Yeah. Who, can we just, I'm going to state this one more time. I think I did it on the 6th book podcast, but maybe I didn't. He bit first years when he was not transformed. And that's pretty messed up, first of all. Second of all, does that make them a werewolf?
I don't know
if we ever find out. And third of all, they left that awesome battle out of the 6th movie, and it still upsets me to this day. Flashback to where we are now. Thank you for the pat on the back.
So, they get taken along with Dean Thomas.
Dean Thomas, I think, Griphook.
The goblin.
Who is the goblin that showed Harry his vault for the very first time.
Back in book one.
Book one. Nostalgia. Oh, life was so much simpler in book one. Anyway, and I feel like someone else. But I think
that's
wrong.
That's it.
Okay, then never mind. So...
A mudblood, a runaway goblin, and 3 churins. There's a funny moment where they're like, oh, Vernon Dudley, what house are you in at Hogwarts? And Harry says, Slytherin. And they're like, yeah, they all say that, but you can't tell us where the common room is. And he's like, it's under the lake. You can see the light. It's green. Because remember, he snuck in there.
He snuck in there. Book two.
More nostalgia!
More nostalgia! Polyjuice potion!
And they're like, oh. All right, we do have a little Slytherin. Well, cool. We're going to take them off to,
We'll take them to the Ministry, I think, is the plan at first. And then... Do they see the sword?
They see the sword, and they also notice that Hermione looks like a picture of Hermione that's said to be traveling with Harry Potter.
Yeah. So they're like, hold up.
Hey there.
We're not going to go to the Ministry. We're going to take them to Malfoy Manor. Dun, 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 dun. Dun. Malfoy meaning...
Oh.
Lucius and Narcissa and Draco Malfoy.
Right. They do actually think that... They think they've caught Harry Potter.
Yeah.
But you can't tell because his face is all swollen because Hermione hit him with a stinging curse.
She did.
Because Hermione is brilliant.
She's a freaking genius. Like, okay.
Hermione freaking Granger.
Because seriously, okay, if I was in a tent with, like, you and Robert.
Fair enough.
Okay.
Right.
And someone was after, I'm going to go with Robert.
Right. Obviously.
Yeah. then, and like, all of a sudden, there were three people that were chasing him. There's no way I would have the presence of mind to hit him with a stinging curse. Yeah. Like, I would probably just start weeping.
Right.
Immediately. just
fetal position, lay down and cry.
Just like, well, we're done. This has been a good adventure, but I guess.
It's over now.
It's over now.
Must have been fun, but it's over now. Must have been a good battle. We've lost it somehow.
That's exactly what would happen. And then I'm pretty sure the three people would be like, do we really want to mess with this guy?
Because
she's just going to keep singing, and it's not going to be good.
I feel like fake intoxication would be my best cover-up. It works really well for me.
Good, good.
Just if you start singing really loudly and off-key, they're all like, oh, for Pete's sake. We're not taking them to Malfoy Manor. We're leaving them in the woods.
Yeah, it's true. That would be our defense.
Yeah. All right, so they
Robert
take them...
would just juggle his way out.
That's true. Just juggle fire sticks. And they'd be like, whoa.
You're like, what? For those of you confused right now, our friend Robert can juggle fire.
He can. He's amazing.
Yay,
Robert. So they take him to Malfoy Manor.
They take him to Malfoy Manor. They go there, and Malfoy Manor's weird and creepy. It has albino peacocks for some reason, which weirds me out.
Yeah.
Which I get it, because they're the Malfoys, but still. So they go to Malfoy Manor. They're like, hey, I think we got Harry Potter.
Yep.
I don't know why they have that voice.
And hey, guys!
Hey, guys!
We have Harry Potter!
They are now the Lollipop League.
We represent the Death Eaters! The Death Eaters! The Death Eaters! And in the name of the Death Eaters! We wish to welcome you to a terrible world!
That was beautiful.
Thank you.
Again, we would not be taking a Malfoy Manor.
Nope,
there is
no
one. So...
it's a foolproof plan.
It's a foolproof plan because it's
fools.
Way better than anything
yeah.
that Hermione
Bring it on, Hermione. I feel like these are the plans that Ron would come up with.
Totally. Or the twins.
Yes.
This is Fred and George's defense plans. Mechanism.
They're like, hey, guys, do you want some fudge? Oh, my mouth is on fire! That sure is.
Second. That was good stuff.
That was.
Good job, team. Fudge. Okay. So, they're at Malfoy Manor. And Bellatrix?
Yes.
Is like, says something.
Bellatrix is like, yes, Harry Potter!
In the movie, Helena Bonham Carter does this awesome thing where she's like, get Draco.
Yeah.
And it's super creepy and awesome.
She's super creepy and awesome in general. True. And so Draco comes.
By the way, did you see that she's going to be the fairy godmother of the live-action Cinderella? I'm very confused by this casting
Whoa!
Choice. She's blonde.
Whoa.
I know it's weird.
Unsure.
Same. So anyway, back to creepy Helena Bonham Carter. So they get in the house. They are,
They get Draco.
They're standing around. They get Draco. And Bellatrix is like, hey, buddy. Is this Draco Malfoy? Or is this... wow. Is this Harry Potter? And Draco looks at him and is like... Or is just, like, silent. And Harry's just, like, staring at him. And Draco's like, I don't... No. And Harry's internal monologue is like, you have to know it's me.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way you don't know.
Yeah.
But they have kind of a strange relationship now where, like, you know, because, like, there's...
It's pretty clear that, like, Draco's Narcissa,
so
and
being...
Lucius are not doing really great right now.
Yeah. Like, Malfoy Manor is not looking good. It's, like, in kind of some disrepair going on. It's really, like, dank and gloomy and, like, not in the cool way and, like, the depressing way.
Yeah.
And so, and it's clear that, yeah, they're not the highly favored Death Eaters that they once were.
Right.
I think it's also clear that Lucius would like to get back to that point, whereas Narcissa and Draco are like, F this noise.
I think Draco is sort of F this noise, and Narcissa is just like, I will keep my family alive at whatever cost.
True, I'll go with that.
Because basically, women run the entire plot of Harry Potter.
It's true. It might be called Harry Potter, but it's really, women are cool.
Yeah. I mean, it's not unlike the women at the tomb. You know, they never get the credit, but like...
It's true, but like...
They're the first evangelists.
It's a driving force.
Also, they funded most of Jesus' ministry. Like, he wasn't the fisherman. It was Joanna and Lydia and Mary Magdalene. Like, they were the ones putting the money in the first church.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Selling that purple cloth, yo.
Yeah, selling that purple cloth like it ain't no thing. Too white. Too white.
I just got this flash of, like, the Real Housewives of ancient Jerusalem. And just seeing, like, Lydia.
I would watch that.
Like, just seeing Lydia, like, constantly dyeing cloth and being like...
Netflix, get on it. You gotta cast some people. You gotta get Mary Magdalene in there. Joanna. Mary, the mother of Jesus.
Can we rock some Phoebe in there?
Yeah, we're gonna rock some. We're gonna add characters as it goes along.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. And we're all gonna be,
like, dictating to their scribes, like, a couple of them secretly behind their husband's backs.
Yes.
And being like, okay... I'm not literate because no one is in this society, but I have put away enough of my, like, spending money that my husband allows me to have to dictate a letter to Phoebe at the church in Rome and be like, Phoebe, it would be so great!
I love
great,
it to happen
right?
So badly!
Netflix, get on it!
Oh, History Channel, will you?
I have a cast in mind. I don't know who would be on the cast. It's all people of color.
Well, obviously. Yeah.
Obviously.
I think, ooh, that one,
Viola Davis?
Nope. Lupita.
Oh, yeah. I can't pronounce the gorgeous one.
Right? She has to be in it.
Kivensane Wallace.
Yeah.
She played Annie. I think that's how you say your name. I think that's right. Kivensane.
Okay.
Who played Annie. And,
I mean, Viola Davis can be in there for sure.
Right. Viola Davis. I feel like she'd be like a Joanne. She could be Mary, the mother of Jesus.
Oh, perfect. Yep.
Yeah. Perfect.
Yep. That would be perfect. Oh my gosh, I'm so
I'm having
excited
so many
this.
Feelings right
I'm
now. Yeah.
This is amazing. Like, I want this to happen.
Yeah.
I don't know how to get it to happen.
Phoebe
though.
Could be white-ish or, like, Mediterranean.
I was gonna say,
because she's Roman.
Yeah.
So she could be sort of Italian or Greek.
She could be Giada De Laurentiis.
Oh, yeah. I'm okay with that. Can Giada De Laurentiis act?
I think she'll
cook.
Just be cooking in the background. That'd be really weird, a patriarchal kind of thing.
Yes,
I want
Real
this
Housewives
series to
Jerusalem.
Happen. Of like, yeah, Real Housewives of Antiquity.
I think we found our next podcast topic.
I think so too.
We're just gonna do that every week. All right.
Okay. I suppose we should get back to Harry Potter.
So, Draco denies that it's Harry, or isn't sure. And Bellatrix is like, I don't care, we're calling the Dark Lord anyway, I'm pretty sure that it's him.
But then isn't Lucius like, hold up, if it's not him,
oh yeah, Lucius
Voldy's
is like,
gonna be pissed.
Yeah, Lucius is trying to call her off, and then, yeah.
And then that happens.
Yeah.
And then Harry's like, hey, my head hurts a lot.
What?
Yeah, Harry gets a flash.
Oh, yeah.
So Harry's like, oh, my head hurts, ow! And then he's, like, trying to keep it together, but, like, wants to know what Voldemort's up to, but yet is like, I probably shouldn't be reacting to this, but ow! So then he gets a flash of Voldemort in his brain, as they do, because they're connected by something.
Right. Who knows what?
Yeah. Very strange.
Oh, no, wait, we know that their wands are connected. From book four.
Well, yeah, but...
Right.
Okay. So, Harry gets this, like, flash of what Voldemort's up to. Voldemort.
Oh! Oh!
Yeah.
Sorry, everyone. I was being an idiot.
I was like, okay.
It's fine. Continue, please.
It's fine. Voldemort is in somewhere.
Russia-ish.
I think, yeah, somewhere like that.
Somewhere Eastern European.
And he's closing in on finding the wand.
Yep.
We're just gonna, yeah. And he's, I don't remember if he's, like, interrogating someone, or he's,
he finds Grigorovich.
Oh, he finds
Grigorovich. He finds elderly Grigorovich.
He finds Grigorovich, and he's, like, yelling at him and stuff. And then...
he already found Grigorovich. Now he's looking for Grindelwald.
Okay.
Because Grindelwald stole the wand from Grigorovich.
Does he actually find him at this point, though?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, he's interrogating a gaunt Grindelwald in a, like, Eastern European magical prison.
Yeah. Wait, I think this happens later.
What?
Because I think they're in the cellar when this happens.
You're thinking of a different one.
I am skipping ahead. So,
no, it's fine.
Okay, just kidding. That hasn't happened yet.
No, this part has happened where, like, Grindelwald is like, I don't have it.
Okay, yeah, right. Okay, so... Shit, I was getting this timeline so bad. Okay, so, that happens. Harry's in pain. Grindelwald's like, I don't have it, bro. And then Harry, like, comes back to himself. Because he's trying to fight it. Because he's trying to, like, not be Harry Potter. And then I think Bellatrix sees the sword.
Yep, exactly.
That's one of the Snatchers has the sword. And she's like, WTF. And the Snatcher's like, the Hermione.
The kids.
The girl had it. And they were like, and Bellatrix is like, that sword is in my vault at
Gringotts.
Thank you. I almost said Hogwarts. And then I was like, that's not the name of the bank.
That's fine.
And then she was like, you've been in my vault. And they're like, no, we haven't. Like, the girl had the sword. And then she freaks out. And just starts, like, stunning everyone. And, like,
stupefy.
Just freaking out. And then
the whole room.
Yeah. And then sends everyone into the dungeon. Well, like, all of the people that, like, Harry and Ron and Dean Thomas and Griphook. Yep. And whoever else they have. All the captured people.
Yes.
Except for Hermione.
Yep.
Into the dungeon. And then the most heartbreaking part of the entire... Okay, maybe not. But it's really bad. It makes me cry when the movie is playing. Bellatrix starts torturing Hermione to see where she got the sword.
Yep.
And is freaking out and says, like, why were you in my vault? And what did you take from my vault?
What else
and how
did you
get in there? What else did you take from there? Like, she's freaking out about the fact that they were in the vault. Hermione is screaming in pain and crying and is saying, we weren't in your vault. Like, I don't know how we got it or what. Like, she's like,
we found it in the woods.
We found it. We don't, like, we weren't in your vault.
Oh, she says it's a copy. It's not the real sword. It's a copy.
Oh, yeah. And Bellatrix is still freaking out and carves the word mudblood into her forearm. It's
creepy as hell. In the meantime, so
this is all going on.
We get a shot of that in the movie. In the meantime, what we get in the book is, so now Harry, Ron, Dean, Griphook have been shoved into the basement with, they discover, Luna Lovegood and Mr. Ollivander, the wand crafter. Well, hello, everyone. So they're like, hey... Everybody, how's it going? And they all kind of, like, rearrange themselves in the basement and blah, blah, blah. And basically, they're, like, Harry's dumping out his pockets, like, trying to find anything because they don't have their wands and they're, like, trying to get out of this locked cellar. And he finds, like, he dumps out that old moleskin pouch and, like, finds the shard of glass from the mirror that Sirius gave him and he, like, thinks he sees a flash of blue eye in it, and he's like, help us, we're in the basement of Malfoy Manor, help us! And is just, like, screaming and freaking out. Really useless.
That's a curious thing to keep in your sock. Sorry.
That's right. That's a good Luna movie
Luna
line.
Says in the... She's like, Harry, you're bleeding, and then that's when he realizes he has the Shard of Mirror, and then she says, that's a curious thing to keep in your sock. Because they don't have the pouch.
Yep. Just in the sock.
Sorry.
So then, because Hermione has told Bellatrix that the sword is a fake, they send for the, gnome.
The goblin.
Thank you!
Griphook. To see if it's the actual sword.
Harry grabs him before they come get him, because he hears them coming for him, and says, you have to tell them it's a fake. Tell them it's a fake.
Yeah. And Griphook's like, fine, whatever. He's kind of surly. And so they,
what did we forget? Oh, crap!
No, we didn't forget. It hasn't happened yet, okay. But Wormtail gets them.
Does he?
Yeah. This is a kind of big Wormtail part.
Yeah.
Wormtail comes and gets the goblin, forces everyone back. Also, Ron is able to produce light in the basement because he has a deluminator.
Oh, right. So they can see what's going on.
Yep. And then, he clicks the lights out. Peter Pettigrew comes, grabs the goblin, takes him upstairs. I know. And then they have it, we're not privy to the discussion that the goblin and Bellatrix have, but...
Because what happens, almost as soon as the goblin is gone, is there's a crack.
Almost like someone apparating.
And they turn on the lights, and there...
And there's...
Is Dobby the elf! Dun, dun, Dobby has come to save the day.
And Harry, I think it's Harry, is like, you can apparate it out of here. And in my favorite Dobby line ever, he says, of course, sir, I'm an elf. Anyway.
And he says, and you can take humans with you. And he's like, yeah.
Yeah. So Harry says, take Ollivander.
Yep.
Luna.
Dean.
Dean. Is that it?
I think that's it. Yeah, and take them to Bill and Fleur's.
Take them to Bill and, or take them to somewhere safe. And then Ron's like, Bill and Fleur's house. And Dobby's like, okay. And then Harry and Ron are like, and then meet us at the top of the stairs at Manor, or at Malfoy Manor.
Yep.
In like 15 seconds or something.
Yes.
And so Dobby's like, all right. And leaves. Then Wormtail comes back down the stairs.
Because he hears the crack.
Because he hears the crack to see what's going on. And then I think they get his wand away from him.
I think they hide on the side of the door.
Yeah.
And they, like, trap him.
Yeah. And then in a kind of horrifying moment.
Yep.
Peter Pettigrew goes to, like, attack them.
Yep.
And Harry says, hey, bro, I saved your life once. And if you will remember, back in book 4, Voldemort gave,
Yep.
Peter Pettigrew cut off his own hand. And put it in the potion to bring Voldemort back. Voldemort gave him a, like, magical silvery hand thing. This should really have video.
Yeah,
because these hand gestures are amazing.
Maybe that's what we should do for our very last podcast, is a video cast as well.
Ooh, that would be fun.
Mm-hmm. You could dress up.
Oh, that would be awesome.
I'm aware.
That's why I said it. Yeah, so then Peter Pettigrew realizes, or Wormtail,
yeah,
realizes that he was about to attack the person who saved his life.
Yep.
The magical hand comes on his own throat, and yep, he chokes himself to death.
Yep.
Can we just take a moment and say how dark that is?
Dark.
In front of two 16-year-old boys! In front of two 17-year-old boys.
Oh, right.
At this point.
Sorry.
But still, 17. He kills himself with, just... Oh, and then I think the part that gets me is that there's, like, kind of redemption in that, but there isn't, but there is. And then, like, but he's not, oh, it's,
oh,
like, the, oh, it's just, it
it's
hurts.
It's really rough.
Like, I feel like, because I think that Wormtail isn't necessarily bad. I think he's just easily coerced into things. And I think, I mean, that's why he's hanging out with Sirius and James and Remus, because they come up with the plans, and he's just like, all right, I'll go along with you, and they're like, okay. And then, you know, like, Voldemort's a super convincing dude. He's got a ton of followers. You don't get a ton of followers without charisma. And we've seen him have a ton of charisma in previous books. Like,
exactly.
He's gonna be able to convince you quite easily to do things. And then Wormtail's just kind of along for the ride. And yes, he should not have betrayed the Potters, but, I mean, you know, like, that's terrible, and that happened. You know, can't forgive that, really. But yet, he's just, I don't know, he's such a follower. And then, like, there's no redemption for him. He just, I'm gonna stop talking now. Thank you.
It's rough.
It is.
Basically, I think what we've learned here is you should really, I mean, this is what we find out, is that every time you try to leave the Death Eaters, things do not go well for you.
Yeah.
Because the same thing happened to Regulus, is when he realized what the Death Eaters were really like, he tried to leave, and Voldemort ended up killing him.
Well, he also killed himself.
Well, right. But.
Did he?
Yeah, I guess he did.
I mean.
Yeah, he chose to let himself be killed to do the thing. But just.
But just.
Don't. Okay, if someone is murderous, don't sign up with them.
Yeah. That has odd implications for our military. But anyway.
I'm having a moment.
You're having a moment.
I'm just going to have a moment about our political system.
Yeah. All right.
So,
okay. So
they get out of the basement.
Okay, you're good.
They get out of the basement. They go upstairs. They find.
They're horrified because they just saw someone commit suicide.
Right, exactly. Or be killed by the silvery hand given to him by his master. I'm never sure. Like, is the silvery hand choking him because Wormtail feels remorse and so he's trying to kill himself? Or is the silvery hand from Voldemort killing him because he has remorse?
It's pretty ambiguous.
It's not clear. It bothers me a little, but I kind of like that it is ambiguous because basically, be careful what wagon you hit your star to.
Because that's how readers interpret texts. We all come to it with a different lens and a different point of view, and then we read it in community, and then we gain meaning.
Thank you, literary criticism.
You're welcome. In high school, one of my classes was, like, freaking out about how, like, that's not what the author intended. And I was like, I don't really care what the author intended because I'm not the author. And, like, this is how, like, the only way I can, like, I can never know what exactly the author meant, but I know what I can take out of it, and I think that's my own creative liberties, yo.
Anyway. Yeah, basic fact, if you don't want to create art, if you don't want people to mess with your stuff, don't create art.
Right.
So they get upstairs. They find Bellatrix torturing Hermione. No, Bellatrix has finished torturing Hermione. She is checking in with Griphook. Griphook is like, no, the sword's a fake. And Harry's like, phew. And Bellatrix calls Voldemort. She's like, all right, fine. We have Harry Potter. We're calling Voldemort. And Harry gets a glimpse into Voldemort's mind. Voldemort is pissed. Like, they better have Potter. He told them not to call him for anything but Potter. So he's like leaving Grindelwald in his creepy Eastern European magical prison where he's slowly emaciated and dying and comes flying across over to Malfoy Manor.
Yeah, and Voldy's in, like, his weird, like, oh, in the movies, all of the Death Eaters can become clouds.
Right.
But in the books, only Voldemort just can Voldy. Do this. Like, it's like a high form of magic, folks.
He can fly by himself.
He can fly! Like, what?
It's a weird thing.
You're not Superman? So, yeah.
He is the one. He can see the code.
Voldemort's name is actually Kal-El.
He can see the match. I was making a reference to the Matrix, actually, but...
Oh, that makes sense too. I was staying on Superman.
That was a good stay. I liked it. We were both in the same vein. Anyway, so Harry's like, we need to get the F out of here. Right now. And so, everybody flies into a panic, and there's lots of spell casting and, like, wand grabbing, and people are getting stupefied and Expelliarmus all over the place, and Harry grabs a couple of wands that he just, like, finds somewhere and throws one to Ron and is like, get Hermione out of here! And they're running for Hermione. Yes.
Are you gonna cover Draco?
One of the wands that Harry happens to grab is Draco Malfoy's.
A very significant part of this fight that may or may not come up later is the fact that Harry Potter wins Draco Malfoy's wand from him. Right. What? That may come up later.
Because he just, like, grabs it out of his hand to overpower him. He also gets Bellatrix's wand.
Yeah.
Expelliarmus is it from her. And then, there's a whole lot of fighting, but then Bellatrix is like, blah! And gets her hands on Hermione and puts a knife to her neck and is like, stop it or she dies! Drop all the wands! And Ron's like, okay! And drops his wands. Ron. So foolhardy. And they're like, crap, we're screwed. And then just then the chandelier above the room begins to tremble. And then comes crashing down, and so Bellatrix has to, like, throw herself to the side, Hermione gets to the other side, and in the riding that chandelier down, like the badass that he is, Dobby the House Elf, come to save Harry Potter and his friends!
Okay, I may have lied about the other one, because I think this one is my favorite Dobby line. This is definitely my favorite Dobby line.
This is a movie line.
So Bellatrix says, you stupid elf, you nearly killed me, and then Dobby says, no, Dobby never meant to kill, only maim or seriously injure.
That's the best.
So then everyone gathers around Dobby, and they apparate, but just as they're doing so, Bellatrix throws a knife, at them.
Mm-hmm.
It turns out the knife apparates with them.
Yep.
They get to Bill and Flora's house on the beach.
Yep.
Shell Cottage, and everyone's, like, kind of freaking, like, they're like, they've made it, and then Harry sees Dobby with a knife in his stomach or chest or something. I think it's chest, yeah.
Because he dies pretty quick.
Yeah. And Harry runs over and grabs him and is like, hey, it's gonna be okay, like, Hermione will have something in her bag to save you, to help you, it's gonna be fine. And Harry's, like, pleading with Hermione, like, Hermione, get something, and Hermione's like, there's nothing I can do. And Dobby is dying and says something very pointed that I can't remember right now.
It is good to be here among friends.
Yes. And then he dies. Very sadly. There is just so much going on.
This book is hard.
Oh! So, Dobby, the awesome elf, dies, and Harry says, I want to bury him. I'm going to dig the grave myself without magic.
Yeah.
Harry digs the grave. They have a little funeral
Dean and Ron come and join him with shovels, and they help him dig the grave, too.
Yep. that Hermione, I think, brings flowers. Hermione and Luna bring flowers.
Mm-hmm. They're girls.
Harry etches on a stone, "Here lies Dobby, a free elf."
Mm-hmm.
Oh! And then, yeah, they have, like, a little funeral for him and bury him. And it's super sad. I think Bill and Floor join, too. And possibly Griphook, I don't remember.
I think pretty much everybody's there. Griphook is not there. Griphook is resting because he was traumatized by something. I mean, whatever. He's not there. So then they bury the elf. And Harry's like, okay. Bill, how's Ollivander? And he's like, he's okay, I guess. He's like, how's Griphook? And he's like, he's fine. I mean, they're both, you know, recovering. And Ollivander's been, like, starved for months. But he's like, good, I need to see both of them. And they're like, Harry, your elf friend just died. And they're both, like, Griphook and Ollivander are both, like, massive. He's like, I need to see them. And Bill's like, okay. And the whole time, as he's waiting to hear, like, if they're willing to see him, he keeps thinking, Hallows or Horcruxes? Hallows mm-hmm. or Horcruxes?
Because if we're going after Horcruxes,
you gotta talk to Griphook. Because clearly something is going on in Bellatrix Lestrange's vault. If she was so... Because she kept screaming, what else did you take?
Yep.
In a way that seemed like she was more concerned... Like, not concerned about riches. If you're going after Hallows, then you need to talk to Ollivander, because he'll know, hopefully, where the Elder Wand is.
So...
They're both willing to see him, and Harry chooses to interview Griphook, right?
Yep.
He goes after... He does... I think he kind of does basically, like, what... Like, Dumbledore set me on this quest, and so I'm going to go ask... I'm going to follow the Horcruxes.
Yeah. So he goes and talks to Griphook. Griphook is like, how did you... get this sword.
Mm-hmm.
And Harry's like, it presented itself to us.
In a time of need.
In a time of need. And Griphook's like, okay.
It belongs to goblins.
But it belongs to goblins. It's goblin made. And Harry's like,
Harry's like, whatever. It was given to Gryffindor and I'm not really here to debate that shit with you.
Yeah. And he's like, do you know what else is in Bellatrix Lestrange's vault?
Short version. Yes.
Yeah. Sure, yeah. So, so Griphook's like, yep. And then Harry's like, yeah, we're gonna need to get in there. And we would appreciate your help.
Yep. Griphook's like, that's impossible. Griphook's like, nope, it's not.
He's like, nope, because we have you.
Well, also, he's like, vaults have been broken into before. A vault was broken into the first day that I was at the bank. And Griphook's like, yes, I know. I remember you. I met you. And... That vault was unprotected. The Lestrange's vault is, like, super crazy. And he's like, I don't care.
Yeah, he's like...
You need to get me into that vault.
And so Griphook is like, okay, but I want the sword.
Yep. You have to give me the sword of Godric Gryffindor as payment.
And Harry's like, I will think on that, I believe.
Yeah, I think so.
He's like...
Because Hermione's like, what? I need the sword! That's the only way we have to destroy Horcruxes. Can we not please get rid of the sword?
And if we don't have that, then gathering all the Horcruxes isn't really a great thing to do.
Put them all in one place.
Kind of pointless. Garage sale!
little bits of Voldemort's soul! Comic books for 10 cents! Vaguely used stuffed animals.
Yep.
All
things in this cardboard box have a piece of Voldemort's soul in them. Enjoy!
It's not for free by the side of the road.
Except for the necklace, sorry.
Yeah, nope, that one's not.
And the diary, those are both broken. Yeah. But.
Whoops, broke those. Whatever, 5 out of 7 is pretty good.
that'd be so awkward if Voldemort showed up at the garage sale. Hey, wait a second! Oh gosh. Okay.
Multiple ways of dealing with the problem. Just give them away.
So, yeah, so Harry's like, I'll think about that. Then he goes and talks to Ollivander.
Yep.
And he's like, hey, buddy. hey there. He's like, first of all,
how you doing?
What's up? And Ollivander's like, I'm old and sick.
Thank you for rescuing me from the cellar.
And
Harry gives him his wand.
And asks him to identify Draco and...
No, he asks if he can fix Harry's wand.
Oh, right, right, right.
And then, he's like, this cannot be fixed.
He's like, nope. Harry's like... and then he gives him the wands to identify.
Mm-hmm.
And, Ollivander, like, listens to them and is, like, creepy. And then says, like, this one is, Bellatrix Lestrange's. I would treat it with caution. And they're like, okay. And then this one is Draco Malfoy's.
This one
belonged to Draco Malfoy, although it may have changed loyalties.
Yes.
And Harry's like, you talk about wands like they are people and have feelings and stuff. And Ollivander goes into, like, his mysterious awesomeness and is like, the wand chooses the wizard, Harry Potter. That has always been known to us who have studied wand lore. And so they're like, hey. And then Harry's like, hey, so you know anything about this thing called the Elder Wand? And Ollivander's like, no. Nope. Definitely not. And Harry's like, but you told Voldy about it. So, and Ollivander's like, yeah, but he was, like, torturing me and stuff.
Yeah.
And it was ouchies. And so, and Harry's like, it's cool, it's fine. I just want to know what you told him. And, like, if you have any other additional information about the wand.
Like, for example, where it is right back now.
Where it is, so I can go get it before Voldemort. That would be great. And Ollivander's like, I think he says, I don't know.
Yeah, he basically is like, no.
He's like, no, I don't have any additional information for you. Search Wikipedia. And so Harry's like, well, that's a dead end.
Yeah, but then, and it's not really a dead end, because I think... I don't know why he asks, I don't really know why he asks... I think he asks about the Elder Wand, like, he wants to get more information about, like, how does ownership of it pass? Like, do you have to kill the person who owned it and that kind of thing?
Oh, yeah.
And Ollivander's basically like, well, I mean, yeah, but not, no, it's kind of, you can, like, if you take a wand by force, then it'll follow your direction. And
yeah.
Generally, but it's kind of hard to tell and
he was like, the wand has a very bloodied history.
Yeah.
Tracing throughout the centuries, basically. You don't necessarily have to kill the wizard. You have to overpower them.
Yeah.
And, like, win.
Yeah.
Over them.
So, Harry's like, okay, cool, thanks. And he's like, hey, you told you know who that Grigorovich had the wand, didn't you? And Ollivander's like, how did you? And he's like, yeah, it's cool, it's fine.
It's fine, I can't just telepathically see into his brain or anything.
And Harry and Hermione are both like, or Ron Hermione are both like, and what? Then Harry's just like, it's cool, it's fine, let's go. And so they're like, well, okay, so.
So then they go out and meet the landing, like, and reconvene. The stairs.
And they're like, so Grigorovich had it. And Harry's like, yeah, but Grindelwald took it. And they're like, how do you know? And he's like, I just know. Because I can see into Voldemort's mind. And Hermione's like, you're not supposed to do that. And he's like, I don't care.
He's like, it's helped us a lot lately.
So what happened to it after Grindelwald had it? And he's like, well, you know who defeated Grindelwald. And they're like, Dumbledore? And he's like, yep. This is where it happened in the book.
No, yeah.
What are you thinking?
I'm not
mind-melding.
No, it's fine. We're past it.
Okay.
I was thinking about when is it that we covered it already. We're good. Carrie, stop talking. Abby, go on.
Fine. So basically Harry's like, yeah, it was Dumbledore's wand.
Yeah.
And they're like, where is it now? And he's like, Dumbledore's wand was buried with him. And they're like, well, we have to go to Hogwarts. And he's like, no, Voldemort's already there. Because he can see it in his mind.
Because, like, well, oh, Harry feels like a rush of, like, excitement coming from Voldemort. And Harry's like, oh, shit. And then he's like, yeah, Voldemort's at Hogwarts. He's getting the wand right now.
Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, we could have gone if you had interviewed Ollivander first, or if we'd just gone. And he's like, yeah, well, Horcruxes.
I chose Horcruxes over Hollows, bitches. So then they start talking about breaking into the vault. right?
Yep.
So, Bill Weasley, the intelligent, wise, oldest brother of the Weasleys that he is.
Yes.
Corners Harry one day. And is like, hey, bro. So, hey. Before this, actually, Harry's like, so they start planning. Harry's like, we have to get Grip Hook in on this. There's no way that we can make it without him. He was like, here's the plan. We're going to tell him that we'll give him the sword. But what we're going to do is we're going to hang on to the sword until after all the Horcruxes are destroyed. And then we'll give him the sword.
Right.
We're not going to really tell him, though.
Yeah.
But that's how it's going to go down.
And they're like, this is not a good idea, Harry. And he's like, do you have any other better suggestions?
And so they're like, no. So then they get Grip Hook in on it. They start planning. Bill one day corners Harry and is like, hey, so like, we know that you're planning something, you know? He's like, I'm not going to ask what it is because I feel like you guys would have told me if I was supposed to know. But I have worked with goblins for a lot of my life. And they're very crafty beings and cunning. And he's like, just know if you've made a promise to a goblin, like, you're gonna have to keep it.
Yeah.
And, they're strict and intense. So, like, watch yourself. And Harry's like, shit.
Yeah.
He's like, I just misled a goblin. And then, yeah.
And, so, yeah. Yeah, it's basically just not, it's bad. So, we sneak into Gringotts. Here's Woo-hoo! The plan, team. We get here's the summary of the plan. Hermione has some hair of Bellatrix's from when she wrestled with her, making sure it's not cat hair this time, book two. Ron gets disguised as like an Eastern European type guy who's visiting, who wants to join in with the Death Eaters, maybe. And so he's just hanging out with Bellatrix. So Hermione's dressed like Bellatrix, looks like Bellatrix. I don't know where they get the Bellatrix outfit.
I don't know.
Kind of a thing to borrow it from Floor, probably. She probably went through a goth phase.
I could see it.
So, gets the outfit. Has her wand, so that's cool. Harry's using Draco's wand, because it feels kind of friendly in his hand. Mm-hmm. He's like, alright, stole it from Draco. Cool. So he appears to have won the allegiance of the wand of Draco Malfoy.
Yeah, it's not as awesome as his wand, but right. It's like,
but it's decent. But it's better than good. It's better than Hermione's wand was for him. Yeah, it's better than any other wand except his own, so far. And so, Harry is going to carry Grip Hook on his back and wear the invisibility cloak over both of them so they can sneak in. Going to sneak into Gringotts.
Yep,
terrible idea.
Yeah,
sneak in. Great scene. I mean, really, if you're gonna watch any of the movies, I feel like this is the one. Because yeah. It's just really solid.
It really is.
But to prepare for it, you should probably watch the other seven.
Yeah.
So we have, Emma Watson, so the way that they did the scene Helena Bonham Carter acted it, and then Emma Watson imitated her, and then Helena Bonham Carter imitated Emma Watson imitating her. That's how it all goes down.
Freaking in the amazing. Sea.
Oh, God, the two of them.
Oh, my gosh.
I have feelings. All right.
Like, seriously, that is the coolest.
Yeah. So, basically, they sneak, so they get...
And, okay, sorry, but just in the movie, you can tell that, like, every time, like, you just know that that's Hermione.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, because it's Helena Bonham Carter. But she's so good at it that you're like, no, that's Hermione. Anyway, continue.
Should have been nominated for that one.
Totally.
So, short summary, through some awkward wand magic and Harry using the illegal Imperius curse on a goblin, they get into the vault.
They show up. They ask Bellatrix to present her wand. They do. The goblins are like, her wand was stolen. And then Harry puts the Imperius curse, and they're like, just kidding, everything's good. Let's go to your vault.
Yep. They go through the Thief's Downfall.
Thief's Downfall.
Which is a waterfall that washes away all enchantments. So suddenly you got Hermione and Ron.
A Ron-looking Ron.
In a very wet invisibility cloak.
And then a goblin who was under the Imperius Curse, who's now not, and is kind of freaking out, and they have to put him back under the Imperius Curse.
Yeah. Stressful.
Then they get too close to the vault. There's a dragon outside.
Mm-hmm.
The goblins, like, shake the stuff at it, and they're like, it expects to feel pain when they're... when it hears this noise.
It's like a blind... It's blinded, and it's
super old. It looks hungry.
It's sickly because, like, it never sees the sun anymore. And apparently, I don't know if you guys know this, but dragons were meant to be outside.
Yeah.
They don't like living in caves, like, forced to live there beneath the earth to guard wizard wizard vaults.
It's not on their favorite things to do.
No, mm-mm.
It would not be in their song about their favorite things.
Raindrops on roses and whispers
Julie
on
Andrews
kittens.
Would sing to them. Yeah. It was kind of a weird... I tried to make... Anyway. So...
Guarding the goblin bank of wizard riches.
And whiskers on kittens.
Wearing
just everyone.
Human clothes, including breeches. Anything that can't be set aflame. These are all things that I think are lame. You're welcome. You are welcome, listeners.
That was amazing. That was just... I want to write that song now. These are the things that I think are lame. So that's...
It's not my best, but...
So they're walking by a dragon singing that song as Julie Andrews is trying to calm him down. In her Mary Poppins outfit, because let's throw another reference
yeah,
in there.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's all British.
Right. She has a spoonful of sugar, and so they go by, they get into the vault.
Yep.
They're looking for the whatever Horcrux is in there.
Right.
I believe Ron bumps something.
They're guessing the Horcrux is probably the cup of Hufflepuff. Because they, I don't know why.
Okay, well, it is. So, yeah. Good guessing on their part.
I don't remember why.
It's almost like it was an author writing it that had the foreknowledge of knowing it. Sorry. So, they see the cup. It's, like, up on some shelves and some shit or something.
Yeah.
And I feel like I've been swearing more this podcast.
I don't
know.
So. This is the first time you've sworn, I think.
Really? Okay, yeah. Then never mind. So, sorry, Aunt Deb. But,
Now I have... favorite thing stuck in my head.
Me too, but I can't. It's causing me not be able to think about Harry Potter.
It's really difficult.
It really is. I feel like we should be running from Nazis right now.
That's true.
And then some Nazis break in, but then the nuns stop them.
By stealing the carburetor parts. Good job, nuns. Such a great,
so good
show.
Okay, so they're in the vault. Right. And, So they see the cup up on some high shelves. Someone knocks something over. I want to say it's Ron. And it's like a plate or something. And the plate starts multiplying.
And it also scalds you.
And it also scalds you, which is not present in the movie. But I think creates a lot of problems in the book. Because, like,
yeah.
You don't want to touch hot metal, man.
Nope. It's hot.
So.
Too hot, in fact.
Too hot in the hot tub.
Well, I was thinking too hot, hot damn.
Oh.
Make a dragon guarding treasure wanna retire, man.
The club can't even handle me right now.
Put your wings up. Like the ceiling of the prison can't hold us. Na 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 na. Hey. And all the dragons say, na, 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 hey.
I really want to take, like, that scene from the movie and, like, put that song
yes.
over when they break through. Na, na, na.
Too hot.
No.
Hot damn. Make a dragon want to retire, man.
So, this is happening.
We're having a great time. It doesn't matter. They break into the vault, they find out that it has a thingy, and so, yeah,
Yeah, okay, so, there's a spell on all of the treasure that if you grab it and you're not Bellatrix Lestrange, I'm guessing,
yeah.
It'll multiply and scald you.
Maybe also Rodolfo, but who knows.
Probably. Is he even alive?
We don't see much of him.
Like, anyway.
It's not Bellatrix's important thing right now.
No. Nor was he ever, let's be honest.
Nope, he was just a sad, sad replacement for Voldemort.
Aww. Anyway, so the...
Who is the most tragic character of Harry Potter? That is the question.
Who's the most tragic?
Right.
I would say Voldemort.
He's evil.
I know, but... Oh.
Dobby!
Oh, Dobby's good, too.
Dobby the house elf.
And I mean, there is... I mean...
Nope.
Also Harry.
Nope. No.
Okay. All right. Fine. No, that's cool.
Okay. All right, moving on.
So, to the same point we've been making for the past 15 minutes. So, the treasure keeps piling up. It's falling down. They're freaking out. And then... Hermione's like, just everyone stop moving, and then everyone stops moving, and the like it keeps piling up. Harry finally grabs the cup with the sword.
Yep.
Or no, he has Grip Hook on his back. Grip Hook has the sword, grabs the cup for him, I believe.
Right.
Harry grabs the cup, and then Grip Hook is like, I said I would get you in, but I never said anything about getting you out, and then grabs the sword and runs out of the vault. And they're like, oh,
fuck.
Thank you.
Dollar in the jar.
So they're like, huh, we're trapped in a vault that's filling with hot metal. This isn't good.
Yep.
I don't remember how they get out.
I think Hermione just blasts open the door.
Yeah.
She's freeing Hermione.
And then Grip Hook alerts the goblins that there's a thief in the thing. So all the goblins are rushing towards them and it's getting really awkward. And then, they're like trying to stun people and, Harry's like, how are we going to get out of here? And Hermione's like, I got an idea, but it's crazy. And they're like, let's go for it. And Hermione runs and jumps on the old dragon's back. And Ron and Harry follow suit.
Important difference in the book, it's Harry that jumps on the dragon's back.
Oh, it is!
It is. I believe you are right that in the movie it's Hermione. Again, we need to take into account the fact that Emma Watson was the superior actor of the three. And although Daniel Radcliffe sincerely increased in acting ability post his time doing Equus on Broadway because of the acting training he received, Emma was still better. And so they were like, go jump on the dragon, Emma. And she was like, I am on it. I'm assuming that's how that happened.
I would assume that as well.
So
they jump on the dragon. They cut the
chains
that are holding them.
They blast the roof open, I think.
Because the chains can't hold them. Because the chains can't hold them. Na, 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 na.
Hey, I'm doing the hand thing. I don't know what this hand thing is.
I don't know either, but I really like it.
Chains can't hold us. And all the goblins say.
So then the dragon flies straight up out of... Gringotts breaks open the ceiling because the ceiling can't hold them.
Nope.
And then they sing hip-hop songs for a good, 45 minutes in celebration.
The bank can't even handle them right
now. The bank can't even handle them right now. So they're flying with the dragon. The dragon is super happy.
Oh, yeah.
Because
it's free!
Aww. And it's, feeling the sun again for, the first time in forever. Mm-hmm. For the first time in forever. There'll be magic, there'll be sun. I don't
know. That's nice. That's good.
Thank you.
I got stuck.
All okay, right. So then they're flying, and then they get over a lake, and Harry's like, hey, we should jump out.
Yep.
And they're like,
before
okay.
It notices that it has snacks on its back. They're right. Like, oh, good idea.
Good idea. So they jump to the lake, and then Harry's like, whoa, Voldemort vision. Voldemort vision sounds funny. It's like... A weird
That's right,
TV show where it's just like, Voldy Cam!
Why is everything red?
Harry gets a vision of Voldemort at Hogwarts?
Yeah, no, he's at Gringotts.
He's at Gringotts and he's pissed. Because...
pissed as heck.
He's so pissed. Because he realizes now that Harry's hunting Horcruxes.
Yep.
And that's not good.
Yep.
And he gets really pissed off and kills all of the goblins and anyone in
the room.
The room, including Grip Hook.
Does he kill Grip Hook?
Mm-hmm.
No, Grip Hook got away.
I think he dies and then the sword vanishes. Maybe that's just a movie thing.
Grip Hook is not involved in the story.
Huh! No. I totally thought Grip hooked it. Well.
Nope.
I have led you astray, dear listeners. I apologize.
So then what happens is, so Voldemort then mentally runs through where all the Horcruxes are. And he's like, well, okay, I hid the ring at my, in the Gaunt Shack, but there's no way he's going to find that.
Well, he's like, well, okay, maybe they could have found that one.
Maybe.
And he's like, if they found this one, they may have found that one, but there's no freaking way they got the necklace. Like, yeah, no one knows about the
necklace. No one knows about the necklace. So not only does he not know that Harry got to the necklace, but he also doesn't realize that Regulus Arcturus Black had already gotten to the necklace. So, like, hello, sir. You should be checking on where you're hiding the pieces of your soul, just in case.
Just in case. Also, he has not realized that his soul is being crushed.
There's a thing, I think it says that, like, he's not gonna know because he's split up his soul so much.
I know, but still.
Yeah.
You'd think, like, I mean, I understand that your soul is cut into many pieces, but you'd still think if one was obliterated, you'd be like, huh, my kidney feels weird.
No, apparently not.
I don't know why kidney. So then he's like, I'll check on...
Right, I'll check
the necklace first or the ring first?
No, he's like, well, what about the Hogwarts? He's like, no, only I have plumbed the deepest secrets of the school. Yeah. And Harry's like, oh. And he's like, oh, and also Nagini. I have to take care of Nagini.
Yeah.
So Harry's like, okay. So the last one.
And do
the
they
last...
get a flash? Does he get a flash of.
No.
Okay. He just sees
he
Hogwarts.
He figures that one. No, he just. Yeah, all Voldemort does is think about Hogwarts. He does not reveal whether it is a Gryffindor or Ravenclaw item, nor where it is hidden at Hogwarts. So, he just reveals that the last pieces of the soul are somewhere at Hogwarts in a thing, in Nagini, and then in himself. Obviously. Voldemort's got some soul still inside him. But so, yeah, so there's, if you're keeping score at home, there are seven pieces of Voldemort's soul out there in the world.
Count them, Emmy!
Count them off! The diary, the necklace, the cup, something belonging to Gryffindor or Ravenclaw, Nagini,
ring,
the ring, and Voldemort himself.
Voldemort himself.
Voldemort knows that the diary's been destroyed, because Lucius Malfoy had to be like, hey, sorry about that. But he believes that the ring and the cup... Oh, no, he knows the cup has been taken. He believes that the ring and whatever he's hidden at Hogwarts that belong to either Gryffindor or Ravenclaw are safe. And then he's got Nagini and he's got himself. So, he thinks there's still a significant number in play.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and the necklace. He thinks the necklace is fine.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's like, all right, I'm going to go to Hogwarts and just make sure that, you know, and I'll let Snape, who's the headmaster, know what's going on.
Yeah.
And Harry's like, all right, to Hogwarts we go. I don't know what it is or where, but we need to go to Hogwarts. So they decide to apparate into Hogsmeade. Fun fact, Hogsmeade is currently under, what's it called?
Well, oh no, they do. Sorry. I was thinking, yeah. They do go to, Hogsmeade. I was thinking of how they, like, when Harry keeps getting visions of him seeing the things, but that's what they're in.
Oh, okay.
There, so, that was me.
Sorry, I'm going off a book.
No. Yeah, no, that's good. Like, you are correct. I was thinking ahead, kind of.
So they get to Hogsmeade. Turns out Hogsmeade is currently under curfew. You know, when, like, a town is under curfew, police patrol the streets and they arrest people. Instead, what happens is if you set a foot out of door during curfew, what is called a caterwauling charm goes off. And it's, I'm assuming, just a lot of shouting and wailing and noises.
Mm-hmm.
So they set this off. And they're like, oh, crap. And they go running, and, like, Death Eaters are after them. And then someone throws open a door and goes, Potter, quick, in here. And he's like, all right. Good move, Harry. That's real smart. Trusting.
It is.
It
just
is actually.
Just a random voice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
no,
so they get inside, and they're like, it's... Go ahead.
I was just wondering if we should end it at this intriguing part.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
Because I don't know how much further we're going to get.
That's true.
And
yeah,
then if we get further, then it's like, well, we might as well end
it.
And,
right.
You know.
You're absolutely right.
Plus, I feel like it's an intriguing spot to be like, whose house are they in?
Where are What's going to happen next? Does it belong to, does that last Horcrux belong to Ravenclaw or Gryffindor? And how are they going to find it? And how are they going to find it before Voldemort finds them at Hogwarts?
Question.
Yeah.
So that's going to end where our current storytelling is.
Right.
Stay tuned for next week's episode. Now we're going to go into Carrie's questions. Carrie's question
Q&A.
Corner. All spelled with K's.
KKK.
Ooh, no. Never mind. All spelled with Q-U's.
Yes. Carrie's question corner.
Perfect.
Weird.
That was weird. Okay.
Glad we're getting back into our group.
Me too. I forgot my question now. Carrie, what was it? Oh! Has Hermione lost her purple bag at this point?
Why do you ask that?
I was just curious.
I feel like she still has it with her.
Because I know, like, they have to lose the tent.
Why?
Well, because they were taken from the tent.
Oh.
And I don't think the snatchers were like, oh, you guys can pack up quick.
Yeah, probably not.
Because I remember Harry being like, I wish we had a tent to stay in. Oh!
Yeah.
Yeah, because they're, okay. When the after Gringotts, they're like flipping exhausted, and they're like, "All I want to do is sleep."
Right.
And Hermione's like, "I don't have a tent." And then Harry's like, "I just got a vision of Voldemort at Hogwarts, so we should probably just get out of here and go there." And they're like, "F,
we're tired, bro." Yeah.
So, I thought I had another question, but I don't think I do. So that was kind of a pointless corner, but
it's fine.
It's cool.
Well, thanks for joining us in Query's question corner. Tune in next time.
Tune in next
gentle
time.
Gentle viewers, for what may be a video podcast of us dressed in costume.
Perhaps. Which will be our final episode, because I'm guessing.
But then after that, we're going to start narrating The Real Housewives of Jerusalem.
Which I'm really excited about.
Stay tuned.
Oh, man.
Gentle viewers.
Okay. Have a good
whatever
have a,
time.
Have a magical morning, afternoon, evening, or night.
May you find that all your mischief is managed.
It's adorable.